Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I mean, the crosstalk never.
I already know this is going to be a good day.
It never fails.
This is going to be a good day.
Always appreciation to DNM Autolisi for giving us that opportunity.
Do you guys understand the flashback I'm having here?
Yes. I feel bad, actually, that we've done this to
you. You guys had a question of the day, like, when are you convinced you're right and everybody else is wrong? That was me in that situation where guys were furious
like, no,
with me. And I was trying to protect them because they thought I was sabotaging their chance for these incredible riches. And it was like, I was so unpopular. And I was just, I'm trying to help them.
They're just like, Seth's a hater.
Hey, Seth should have come up with his own scheme.
Seth needs to go on a long walk. Clear your head.
Once he knew all of these marks existed, you did the right thing by not coming up with your own scheme together.
I think that would have been great. Come up with the scheme, get them for the money, but just hold it for him. So give it back. On the back end, you know what I mean? Like, I scammed you, but also now you know that's how easy it is to get scammed.
And that is how you become your brother's keeper right there.
And then you just take a small 2% fee for the cost of keeping
your
money safe. Yeah, exactly. There you go. All right, let's get going here on this Thursday. It's going to be a fun one, I promise, if the question of the day is any indication. Also, 11:20, we talk to Indy Kalu, as we often do. Plus, maybe the thing that I'm most excited for in this show, with all of the feelings, and that's what I will use, feelings that we have towards this Texans offense, I want to hear from the man at the helm of it. Nick Haley is talking to the media at 1:30, so right about then, we'll hear what he has to say for himself.
That's appointment listening.
I need to hear it, big dog. I need to hear what you're talking about. But for right now, let us celebrate another silver boot for the Houston Astros, baby. Let's get it up.
Yeah.
Let's get it up for the Houston Astros. Another victory for your Astros.
He led
at
with
Dyker
the
Park.
Silver boot.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I?
Would you like me to alphabetize the list?
Go ahead. I'll start with winners around here, man.
We in a tight race. Yeah. That silver boot might not matter.
Yeah, silver boot.
Well, I mean,
although they did put that silver
you
boot
about
in
to
the
get
ass.
You close to getting the silver boot if you don't pick up these games.
Well, in addition to winning the silver boot, because of that, and because shout out to the person who the manual operators, the outfield scoreboard, giving us the update at Dyker Park yesterday. The Mariners also lost, so the Astros back up in the AL West by a half game. Like, all those things happened last night. What was the most important thing, or what do you think was the most important thing that happened last night for the Astros? 713-572-4610. Because I think that there's actually a number of things
I have an answer. I have an answer. You guys were boots on the ground attending the game, so I'm very curious your thoughts, you and Figgy, and I know T-Mill was
there
as well.
We almost touched the grass. We was close.
That was close, huh? I saw your pictures. That was badass. For me, one on the field last night, one mentioned. The one on the field, I feel like Jose Altuve starting to feel it a little bit.
Interesting.
Again.
Okay, that wasn't even one of the ones I was thinking about.
Starting to feel it again. Back in the groove a little bit. This series, he owns the Rangers. The most home runs, most RBIs, highest batting average against the Rangers in his career of all the teams in MLB.
Yeah, shout out to the Arlington Rangers for giving you a jump start on Jose Altuve, something that's really, really important.
You know which team he has his third best numbers of all the teams in the major leagues?
Could it possibly be a team that you will see this weekend?
It is the Seattle Mariners. So that to me was like, all right, Jose, we've been up and down with this thing, you know, all season long. maybe Rangers kickstarts him. He's got the Mariners. He loves seeing their uniforms. He loves the big moments. That's one. And then the other one for me was, we're dumb. We're so dumb.
I've often said that.
I really think Paredes is going to play. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Drink the Kool-Aid, yeah, baby.
I really do. I think that because even the way they lie and everything else, you know, when it comes to injuries and such, I mean, he flat out said, we expect him this weekend. You know, we expect him this week. That's even for them. That's pretty bold if it doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that you're right. Like, I think that would be huge. Pursuant to what you were talking about, and we'll talk about all the things that were happening there because it was really fun, especially being in the building for this one. I thought that, I mean, look, this was the biggest challenge of this particular series. And admittedly, this is not a great offensive team in the Rangers. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. Ain't nobody trying to hear that, obviously, on this side of the state. But when you get up there and Jacob DeGrom is on the mound, admittedly slowing down, but Jacob DeGrom he's still handling his business. I thought the way that you started up was very important. Mm-hmm. And Joe Espada did too. We'll hear from him in just a minute. But just yesterday, one of the things I was talking about that I was sounded like hopium, and it was hopium, but mm-hmm. It's like, yo, your 1-2-3 batters all made impacts in that 6-5 victory that you had yesterday. And again, they did that, but not just in the game at some point, right out the gate. This is Joe Espada talking about the approach that they took to Jacob DeGrom.
It was very important. I thought, you know, he started the first pitch of the game with a slider. It's the same way he started Pena in Arlington, and I remember Jeremy swung on that first pitch. Jeremy took it, and then from there on, we just built our approach, and we're going to make him, you know, kind of close to us. We got to see him up. We have to really make this guy throw the ball over the plate. And he's one of the best pitchers in the game, so I'm proud of our effort and how we went about our business.
I mean, they had him throw, what was it, damn near 30 pitches in the first inning. They got after a pitcher early. They established the tone to try and give their offense an opportunity to get some runs on the board. And that's what they did. 2 runs out the gate. And that gives the starter, whoever it is, a little bit of leeway. I mean, Christian Javier gave up 2 runs in the second, right after that, top of the second. But it did not matter as much because it wasn't 2-0 at that point. It was 2-2. You still had a game that you can go and play in. And I think that being aggressive, but not just aggressive, but like,
selective on the pitches.
Being selective and getting yourself out to a good start matters so much for this particular Astros team. And it feels like Jeremy Pena 1, Carlos Correa 2, and as you mentioned, Jose Altuve 3, at least as that was stacked today, or yesterday rather, that was very important in getting that going. All of those guys, I mean, they collectively had 5 runs, or the 5 runs that you had. It came out of that. Those guys, I think that's a huge portion of what you were able to do in this series, and that should bode well, I think, going into a Mariners series this weekend.
Absolutely, and then the other thing that they showed is a very Astros, traditional Astros type thing. You mentioned they came back and tied it. What the Astros do 2 innings later? 2 more runs. Then you know they added on the late. So it was. Look, we all know we're sort of walking on eggshells with this squad. But I think it was about as promising as you could get going into the biggest series of the season. I mean, flat out, period, no argument, the biggest series of the season.
I'm interested that we both came with that same answer or that similar answer because there is something to be said about, hey, Christian Javier giving you 6 innings of pretty good pitching. Because the coming along, it's something that you had to have from him. But I was at least, I don't know about you, in the place where I was no longer depending on the idea that Christian Javier would be solid. But you needed that for this win, which, one, gets you obviously wins you the silver boot. But that gives you the tiebreak, which it feels like this win also pushed the Rangers out of your vantage point. But who knows with the remaining 9 games and how this goes.
I mean, they're 5 games back now.
Right? They are further back, but you get that tiebreak. And I think that this helps you if you end up in like a 3-way for some reason, right? But look, getting this win was important, and you needed Christian Javier to go 6 innings because your bullpen is so shallow.
Yeah.
Man, that was huge to have Christian Javier look like he could handle a regular quality start on the mound.
Yeah, I mentioned it yesterday. I don't know what to expect from Christian Javier right now. It's been sort of up and down as well. But to get it there with the bull, I mean, the bullpen was completely gassed. I mean, 3 of their, you know, guys they lean heavily into, you know, were just not going to pitch yesterday. So that made it even more so.
And is this too much? Am I glazing, as the youths would say, if I mention Joe Espada? Like, being in the building, and Figgy, you tell me if I'm wrong here, it felt even more important that he have the perfect finger on the trigger of when to go to various guys in the pen. and because there was just no guys that you felt really great about. As we mentioned, most of your bullpen guys that you trust had thrown at least, what, 12 pitches in the last three
days. 2 days in a row sometimes.
Right, some of these guys, two days in a row. Some of these guys pitched last night. And so you looked up, and it was like, all right, you got Okert, you got King, you got you have Kimbrel, who I didn't even, when he came out, I was like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Kimbrel goes in that first inning, gets you pitches, gets three outs and 11 pitches. And I was like, does he come back out? Maybe you don't want him to sit down, come back up. Okert comes out, and he ends up with guys on base, right? And you're looking at Adolis Garcia in the on-deck circle. Yeah. And at that point, he turns to Brian King, a man who has had some work in the last few days, but goes, I'm going to go to you for the four-out save. And that's exactly the man that needed to be on the mound in that moment. So I did feel good about Joe Espada having his finger on the pulse with the pen right at this moment.
I don't know how much it was finger on the pulse as much as an organizational decision going into the game. Like, we're going to ride you, Christian Javier. We're going to ride that arm as long as we can.
Sure.
Don't let us down. I think going into the game, they knew who was not available. So, like, anything short of a 9-run inning or something, they were going to just stay with him, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I got to circle back around to shout out to the Kansas City Royals for doing something, helping out.
Breaking that 10-game streak.
The three games that you have this weekend, obviously we'll talk more about them tomorrow, they're going to be important on their own right. Like, if you lose or if you get swept in that series, this half-game lead doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, because situating yourself as a half game ahead as opposed to a half game behind or a full game, you know, a game and a half behind is what could have been the case last night. It gives you just a little bit of margin for error. And I feel like that is a phrase that I've used a lot in various different Houston sports contexts over the last month or so. And anything that you can do to widen your margin for these Astros, obviously for these Texans, we'll talk about the Rockets here sooner than I realized, but widening that margin for error is huge. And I think that you did that last night also with the help of the Royals. So, man, I'm super excited. Somebody said I won a three-way for some reason. I hope that you're talking about a tie. Actually, I don't help you. Don't win no three-way. Go win the AL West, please.
Yes.
But, yeah.
You won a three-way for it, man.
Also, actually, it's too early for that. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Look, I'm being responsible. At least I'm trying to. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, let's get to talking about these Texans. I want to go back one more time. I know we're supposed to be kind of turning the page, getting ready for this Jags game. However, were the Texans duped? And did we get actual proof of this yesterday? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Thursday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Still reeling a little bit from Monday night when the Texans fell to the Bucks. Sorry to keep mentioning it, but one of the things that happened in the game that kind of caught people's fancy was when Nick Chubb finally breaks through, it feels like a triumphant moment. At least I could speak for us in the press box at that moment. It was like, wow, finally you break through. Finally you have a because especially with Nick Chubb, when he runs the football, he is a battering ram of sorts.
Yeah.
You know, you don't breach on the first run. You keep battering, and eventually, boom, we breach, and now you make this happen. It felt like finally you have that happen. And then people look up and they go, nah, they let him score. And we were like, maybe, but also, I don't know.
It's funny the arc of this whole conversation. Like, in real time, I didn't even consider it.
No, neither did I.
Like, in real time, I'm like, yeah, that's the chub I've been talking about.
Didn't even consider it. I talk about it all the time.
All right. Okay.
By the way, who call it a chub?
I know. That's a
not
old,
me.
That's an old.
713-572-4610.
I'm going to say, is this 1940?
Yeah. So real time, didn't even consider it. After the game, you know, you hear or see, you know, hear or see a couple things, and you're like, nah. Then you see a little more, and you're like, well, they did kind of let up a little bit there. So you start to kind of, you know, maybe, you know, postulate that they did it.
And then you start Zapruder filming.
Then you watch it a little closer. And by yesterday, I was like, yep, they did it. They let him score.
I never got that far. Yeah. I think the thing that I got to was like, man, the front line looks like they're trying here. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't feel like guys are just not trying. But once he broke the line, I'm looking at that deep safety, and I'm like, I know you could take a better pursuit angle than that.
Yeah.
And I know you got a higher gear than that.
Yeah.
And so it did make me go, all right, maybe – I think Seth probably put it best. Like, maybe the rules were, if you can stuff it, stuff the run.
Right.
And if you can't, then let it go. It seemed like the Tampa media started asking fellas about this.
Right.
And I want to take you through the gamut of responses so that we can put this to bed finally and turn the page entirely on this. This is head coach Todd Bowles of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on this topic.
I don't think it matters. We won the game. So we'll go from there.
Not gonna tell us
at all.
That was the best part.
You're not at all.
At all.
I'm not gonna tell you at all.
Well, you kind of just did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he? Because is that one of those things where, like, I always think about?
Or he's taking a bow, even though it was an accident.
I think about this with artists, right? Like, when you see an artist and or like a writer, and they wrote a book, and somebody's like, "Well, were you trying to say that you know, with this, when the you said that the flag was blue, is that trying to say that there's a sadness?" And they're just like, "Sure."
Yeah,
when in all reality, they meant the flag was blue.
But blue sounds good.
You know what I mean? Like, so I do wonder how that is. But let's dig it a little deeper. Maybe Todd was just being bashful. How about Antoine Whitfield Jr., the safety for the Bucks?
It was a great run. It was a great run. I'm going to say that.
Come on.
It was a good run by him.
Was it an instant decision by you, or was this something we talked about on the sideline?
Like I said before, it was a great run.
Come on, man. Okay, so we're going to hear from another one here in a second, but those two dudes, Todd Bowles and Antoine Whitfield, obviously you heard what they said, and we can interpret it how you want. I know we've all seen the video. They each had that little bleep-eaten grin on their face when they were answering.
You could see their grin?
They were just kind of going, it was a great run. And they're, you know, trying.
Oh, you mean on the – I thought you meant on the play. I'm thinking like you watching all 22, like, is that a smile?
No. They had
those teeth?
Like, when they were answering, they kind of like, so it was – like I said, the arc went to yesterday. I said, yeah, they did it. After I heard all this, I said, oh, for sure.
And then real quick, on the back end of this is Tykee Smith. He's the strong safety. This was his response to all of it.
Tykee, is pretty apparent that once Chubb got somewhere on that field, you guys are going to let him score to get the ball back to the offense. How does that work as far as his 25-yard run goes?
I think it was a good run, good play call for Wiz, and then kudos on.
You're going to just stick with that story?
And one of them said, maybe it was him and I missed it, said, we'll leave it at that. When you say we'll leave it at that.
That was Antoine.
Yeah, that was Antoine.
But ultimately, the thing that this brings up, honestly, whether it's true or not, one, it's very clear that there was a message in the meetings that, hey,
just call it a great run.
Whether it was called or not, like, hey, we're gonna leave this up to belief, because at the very least, this builds the mythos of Todd Bowles.
Mm-hmm.
Now other teams are like, oh, what is he thinking of over there? Like, what's behind the eyes? But I think that this does. We can use a little bit of a mirror and look back at D'Amico Ryans, and I go, in that situation, I do wonder, was there any consideration for what the circumstances were? And I think that for me, I also would take the 7 in that place, because it was 2:22, I think.
It was 2:15, I thought.
Or something like that. So you have
three timeouts
and the two-minute warning, right? But I still think, I do wonder, we've seen enough from D'Amico Ryans in various ways that I think you can ask questions on how much he, and how deep he's considering the game outside of just, our defense,
yeah,
our offense, which again we still all have like questions about, our special teams. But are you, how much are you considering all the various situational places? Because again, I think with coaching, the point that you ask for is not just getting guys to do the right things, but creating advantages. And little things like this are advantages that can be created,
yes,
from the sidelines,
yeah,
that I don't know that D'Amico Ryans is doing nearly as
much. No, that's exactly where I wound up, and sort of three thoughts keep sort of bouncing around in my head, because there is the whole sort of just coolness or just intrigue of the fact that they probably did this. And I'll say probably, even though I think they did. But there's that intrigue there. But underlying to that is, this is what makes a coach elite. Like, there are really good coaches. We know D'Amico Ryans, and I'm not criticizing by any stretch, because this is something that you learn as you go. And Todd Bowles has been in the game for a long time. There are really good coaches. And then there are things that elite coaches do. And I don't know how many times Todd Bowles has been called elite, but this was an elite move if, as I believe, they did this on purpose. And so there's a little bit of a, you know, a serious let's talk about this kind of element here, because I was frankly, if, you know, I wish, I'll put it this way, I wish D'Amico was as quick on his feet as Todd Bowles was, whether it was pre-planned or it was just something they practiced. Hey, if he gets into a certain situation, let him go. That to me was impressive, however you cut it, with Todd Bowles.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I don't want to go too far on this because it ultimately worked out for them. They did end up in a situation where they're in 4th and 10 and they needed,
yeah,
they needed a godsend type.
But they had the timeouts. They had the 2-minute warning.
Yeah, they did. Right. When it comes to the coaching staff situation.
See, that's the thing. They had all the time in the world,
mm-hmm,
where if the Texans just kind of, I don't know if they was going to milk the clock, but it would have took a lot of time off, mm-hmm, to score.
And I mean, there's been questions about like once the Bucs did get into the red zone, right, with the Cade Otton catch. You had timeouts and you took them to the house at, yeah, the end of this game, right? Like, we've had questions about timeout usage at times. We've had questions about when you decide to play for a field goal. We've had questions of when you decide to just burn the seconds at the end of a half. And all of those things are places, small places where, again, and I told you I'd use this phrase a lot, where the margins, I feel like the margins either get thinner or they, mm-hmm, get wider. And it feels like there aren't very many things that come from the sideline that create the widening of margins.
Glad
for
you
Texas
said that
team.
Because that's the second thought I had. And really, there's a lot to talk about with Nick Caley, and I truly feel bad sometimes that it sounds like I'm bashing him. But the second thought I had, and we're just being honest here, I wish Caley or someone on the offensive staff had told the offense, forget what they were doing, had told the Texans offense, hey, if we get down, you know, in chip shot range, go down, make them use their timeouts, make them use the 2-minute warning, and burn some clock. Because that's the other side of this. Like, offensively, you have to be smart enough to say, there's only 2:15 left. If we milk this thing, you know, if we get into wide open, don't run in the end zone per se. I know, because you're only down 1 point, it's chip shot, and it's Fairbairn who's been hot.
Yeah, see, I thought about that too, but I feel like they kind of wanted a statement. I feel like they were trying to score. I feel like they weren't trying to play for little chip shot. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't confident.
You got to win, though, man.
You know, I get that. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't even get in at the one-yard line. I want to say it was a little earlier in the game. So I'm like, man, I don't know about.
Goal. Well, the thing about kicking a field goal is then you go up two and a field goal downs you. And especially with the new kickoff.
What if there's 10 seconds left?
I don't know that you're getting down to 10 seconds. Well, you would have
if you go down using 2 minute warning.
You would have had to try and
if they were under a minute or something mm-hmm. like that, then I totally get that part. But it was still a lot of time left mm-hmm. in the game, and I think they were probably just trying to mm-hmm. score. They was trying to. It seemed like they was kind of grooving, so they was trying to score.
No, and I'm with you there. Like, and I think I mean at that point you had given up 14 points. I think that there was a level of belief in your defense, even though they'd kind of been matriculated down the mm-hmm. field upon, I guess, in a way of speaking. But I think if you were trying to get all that time off, you would have had to stop before you got to the 10 to try and like give yourself an opportunity to pick up a first down and then do some more because you're trying to burn their timeouts in addition to running the clock down in that moment. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is if you kick the field goal there, then they only have to get into field goal range to go and beat you. And I do wonder how much a consideration for the amount of plays that the defense had been on the field was from like Todd Bowles or maybe D'Amico Ryans and whether or not that was the case. Mm-hmm. I think for me, the larger part of this conversation is not necessarily hyper-analyzing that individual, but I think it gives us an opportunity and a touchstone to look at the larger portion of game management, but not just game management, a level deeper of Are there things that D'Amico Ryans adds into on top of? Because right now we're frustrated with the regular, you know, coaching aspect mm-hmm. of it. But we can be honest. D'Amico Ryans has brought this team very far from a coaching aspect.
Yes.
I think if we want to give him the benefit of the doubt, we can there. I think that there is a fair question to ask about what are the additional little mm-hmm. add-ons that D'Amico Ryans brings. And I don't know how many of those I see as of right now. I might just need to take more time to examine it. But right now I'm looking for where are the little advantages that are created by D'Amico Ryans as a coach. Like that would be the case there if we're viewing that from Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll keep looking at this here in loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, in honor of Todd Bowles, maybe, possibly, seemingly duping the Texans, our question of the day, 713-572-4610. What was the time that you were duped? Let's have a little fun with that next. All right. You're in the loop. Let's get to our question of the day. What was the time you were duped? 713-572-4610. Lopez is holding strong to the idea that Todd Bowles got the Texans. I don't necessarily lean into that nearly as much, but unfortunately, regardless, we're
you
done.
You think they're really out there trying to tackle him, huh?
Yeah. When was the last time you saw Antoine Winfield jog?
Regardless, when was the time that you were duped? 713-572-4610. Let us know.
The thing about that, I know a lot of our listeners have conned, duped, flim-flammed, whatever you want to.
Flim-flam.
Yeah, flim-flam.
I never heard that one.
Yeah. I've heard it before, but that's an old person. Flim-flammed is crazy.
Yes. When was the last time you were flim-flammed? And the reason I know everybody has a story, you guys have a story as well, is because I think it happens to everyone, and it leaves a mark. Mine, I was 23 years old. I remember exactly. I just moved from College Station, my first real job, made a little bit of money, nothing too much, but more than I had made before. And I went to this, I don't even know how I heard about it. It was in this hotel ballroom, which is the first, that's a giveaway right there. And it was this, invest in this gold coin, whatever. It was a pyramid scheme is what it was, but they called it something else.
I mean, gold is the most consistent thing in the...
The thing about it is, yes, that was part of the messaging. Like the two dudes that were up there, there were like probably 20, 25 of us in the room. They actually had gold coins, like in this case. And they took them out and they passed them around the room so we could touch them and look them.
Oh, yeah.
Look at them and all this other stuff.
They gave you the great.
I got to the hook, line, and sinker, man. And then they explained how it all worked.
Yeah, what was the scam? I want to understand what it was.
If you invest, they're buying these gold from Peru, this gold from Peru or whatever.
Peruvian gold. I've heard that's the best gold of all.
I did too. That day I did. And they get these shipments, and if you purchase, in the gold, you're investing, and this is another thing that I'm stupid about. If you invest in the gold, consortium or group, you're going to benefit from all the profits. And if you get other people to invest, then your profits go up. I mean, classic pyramid scheme. You don't actually get the gold in your hands like they were passing around, but you're in this group of people that are benefiting from the sales of gold that they make periodically. And I'm like, I'm in.
You got me.
I'm in. And it wasn't even that much. It was a lot for me at the time, but I think it was like, I don't know, probably $600 or $700 I put in.
Was this 1962?
1986.
That was close.
That was the starter fee, right?
Yes. And lo and behold, we all know what happened.
They took you.
They took me.
They took you.
They took me. I actually went to a meeting like that one time. This was before I moved here, and I was trying to find something, and, and this dude that I knew, he came to me, and I kind of knew his whole story. Matter of fact, that was the guy I got stopped in Kent with with the cop was frisking everybody.
Hey, you do you have good life stories with old boy?
No, I know, but no. Look, he pretty much changed his life. And so he walking around with a suit and a nice car like, hey, you should come to this meeting. And, hey, man, I got in. I thought it was a scam, too. Man got in, and they talking about it's a $500 fee, starting fee.
Yeah.
And then you got to go out and do the work, and then they benefit off of it. And if you get more people to benefit and you, then you get to walk
around in
a $1,000 suit and all that. I'm like, nah, I'm good, bro.
Yeah, so you were smarter than me.
Yeah. But anywho, I kind of got duped. Actually, it was a couple years ago. My hairstylist who twist my hair, she was telling me like, oh, this is a tattoo artist I follow, and she looked like she real good, and I'm looking at the page, I follow the girl and all this other stuff, and I'm like, you know what, these prices looking all right. It was kind of a little tricky, but I figured she was just starting off, and she was just super talented, so I'm like, you know what, let me go get something. And I hit her up. We responding to all that stuff. She said, I'll take a $90 deposit.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. It was like a $300 tattoo. So I'm like, all
right. That feels right,
I said the same thing. So set up a date. I went over there. I pulled up in the apartment complex. I'm like, wait, what in the world? And then so I went to text or message the girl. I'm like, I'm here, but I don't know where you... The page was gone.
Oh, wow.
So she blocked me. She blocked me from my Cash App because I Cash App the money.
Yeah.
Blocked me from Cash App. So I'm like, what in the world?
Oh, no.
So I had to go through somebody else's page to see, like, what's going on. It was a scam.
Yeah. And you're not even a tattoo guy.
I'm not. That's the crazy part
about it.
You had to
get talked into it.
I'm like, damn. I'm like, it's that cheap. I'm like, let me see. And then I got it from somebody else.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was just scrolling around.
Right.
I'm like, somebody else I trusted told me about this. So my hairstylist, still to this day, she's so upset that she showed me that girl page.
That's tough. Because, yeah, if you're the person in the intermediary, you thought you was doing a good thing.
It was somebody I trusted, too.
I bet. Somebody said they sold Kirby vacuums for a month. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing I will say, them joints worked for some reason, man. Those things were great. I don't know how y'all made money off them, but them joints looked fantastic. Somebody said Catfish went to a Mexican restaurant expecting some fine little Latina. Got a polling guard. All right, very good. And someone else mentioned, obviously, everybody has had that smoky moment where you expect Janet Jackson, you get Freddie Jackson.
Yeah.
There you go. I am going to speak for the entire city of Houston when I mention this name, this four-part name. How about Edward Earl Reed Jr.?
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's a sports duped, yes.
No, because, like, there's some instances, like, some people are like, well, I thought this Texans offensive line would be different. I'm like, why'd you think that? I mean, like, I know that we were like, look, hopefully we can get this together, but I think we could be honest about saying we were pretty much like, I feel like you should have handled this better.
Yes.
Earl Reed, I was like, yo, here comes I've heard all of the stories about how Earl Reed and, like, the winning culture and the ways in which he has, you know, almost this sixth sense around, you know, football and playing, you know, defense, and hopefully that culture will be brought. Ain't none of that happened. Like, didn't none of that filter into the Texans? That man hit for his lick and left.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't walk. Yeah. He couldn't walk
like that. And there's a number of ones that people are bringing up sports wise, or like Bobby Slowick, Nick Cayley, which, wow, already there. But I mean, that's a question we need to ask. Shaq Mason, Blake Fisher. Although, wait, hold on. Shaq Mason was fine up until
He hit to the last wasn't, yeah. year, yeah. yeah, last year, maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like I got to Earl Reed, and I was like, oh yeah, no, that one was just all scam. 281, I didn't get this one yet, though. I didn't get this, but I got close. Almost got me, similarly to the 281, with the Vector knife scales. Knife sales, did you get the Vector sales pitch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You didn't either? Oh, wow. Cutco knives is a similar one.
Mm-hmm.
Someone bought an Ed Reed jersey. Damn, sorry about that. But yeah, the Cutco knives, when you're a teenager, you're like, oh, I'm going to go get the job. For me, I was like, let me go to this job interview. Because yeah. I was like, this seems a little, let me go to this job interview. I walked in there and there was a whole bunch of people. I was like, oh, no. Nah. I know this can't be it.
Well, the thing is, when you get into it, like, and I learned this the hard way, like a hotel ballroom or some meeting room that is not actually a company,
yeah,
walk the other way,
yeah,
leave.
I actually had an interview with some company, and still to this day, I have no idea what it is. Mm-hmm. But I was applying to different jobs back in the day, and it was on LinkedIn. Or I think LinkedIn or Indeed, some one of those sites. Mm-hmm.
Which sucks because you want to believe it.
Yeah. So I'm dressed the part. I'm going in, and this was the whole interview. The lady was like, "You want to make money, right?" I'm like, "Right,
correct."
Like, you want to be a boss like me, right? I'm like, right.
These are
you
want to
travel around like this, right? I'm like, right. That was pretty much the whole interview. And then she wanted me to quit my job here. And
whoa. This,
I was on the street team at the time.
Yeah.
But she was like, yeah, we going. I'm like, eh. I'm like, all right. And then she told me, oh, we're going to call you back for the second round of interviews if you made it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they called me back so quick. I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. I still to this day don't know what that job was. I don't know if it was a sales job or what. But she came in, you want to be a boss, right?
Right.
You want to make money like me, right?
I like her interview style. It's like, because the end, if you say no, what?
Yeah, so I'm sitting there like, yeah. Right.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Right. Who doesn't?
Yeah, I want to travel the world too like you. Yeah. I don't know what that job was.
Can I interest anyone in a timeshare in Galveston, says the 864?
No.
I think everybody got caught with them timeshares.
I got duped by my wife.
You said that you didn't get duped by a timeshare, right?
Like, oh, I took advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was only like 2 years older, but I was already hardened by the streets, man.
All right, real quick before we go, since we got into the sports realm, what is the biggest sports dupe when it comes to Houston or probably the Texans? Because I imagine that's the one where these pop up.
Calvin Cato.
All right, Calvin Cato is one you could throw
Scottie
out there.
Scottie Pippen.
I feel like we should have seen that one on the Scottie
But nobody
Pippen.
Did.
Yeah.
Nobody did, including me. I remember. I still remember going
you
to.
You were in on the Scottie Pippen
I remember
experience.
Going to his introductory press conference thinking, all right.
Here it goes.
All right.
I'm too young to like remember vividly if that was like what the feeling was, so I'll lean on your experience there. Somebody said, does Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson count?
Sure.
Ooh. Yeah, Deshaun Watson.
I would say Deshaun Watson because especially the image he portrayed.
Dude.
Like, he was getting baptized in the lake of Jesus or whatever over in Egypt or whatever.
Yeah.
Doing all this other stuff. And he
it was
out
all
here.
A con, though.
Yeah.
To be honest, it really was a con.
Yeah. No, it was. Because he was not living like that.
The one that
wrote
gets
that
me.
Book?
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
The one that got me with Deshaun was, like, the story about him, you know, paying the, you know, Texans.
Oh, the cafeteria.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah, what a guy.
What a guy. Not
was,
quite.
That's a great one because he really was a con man.
Yeah.
He really was.
He was like faith-based.
I'm sorry, you said con man. Did you mean Jack Easterby?
Well, that too. There's another one. That's another one.
Carmelo Anthony or Russell Westbrook.
Ooh.
And the 281 just wrote, he's just a coworker.
I feel the pain. That's all the words that they wrote, and I feel all of the pain there. So, so bad. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That was fun. All right, coming up next. Let's go around the NFL where the Texans are 0-2, but how do they stack up amongst all the other 0-2 teams? Let's figure that out and talk about some other things around the NFL next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.